If I'm not wrong, I think you turned 26 last month.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
Right. How do you think you've done for the past 6 years? I'm treating like 20 as like a decent cutoff for like an entry into adulthood.
Okay.
So what do you think the last 6 years, like, has it been okay? Has it been not good? Has it been like much better than expected?
I honestly did not know what to expect, but in the last 6 years, I've had two existential crises. I think when I turned 20, as you said, for me, I think I consider that an inflection point too. I used to do a lot of professional theater when I was 16, 17, 18, 19. And I remember, you know, news articles saying, oh my God, this 19-year-old girl, blah, 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 right? And it would emphasize my youth. The second I turned 20, I was suddenly a 20-year-old woman. And that was a huge shock for me. In that transition from, you know, childhood to, as you said, adulthood in that capacity, you start getting expectations increase of you. But I feel like the last 6 years, I've learned so much. You know, your 20s are one of the weirdest times of your life, where everybody is going through different milestones at different times. Perhaps your earlier 20s, a lot of people, you know, might be in college or might be in their early days of work. But after that, it's pretty much a free for all. For me, even though I did have formal education, you know, I went to college, all of that, I was still very heavily involved in the creative industries in my early 20s. And that was very different, you know, because I see a lot of friends who now at 25, 26 are thinking of entering creative spaces or potentially building a startup or trying to create something. And they're really nervous about it. And many of them will come to me for advice because they're like, you've been doing this since you were 19, 20. And for me, it's funny because I'm at different inflection points now in my life. And I think you just forget the amount of time it takes to build whatever that might be, your career, your relationships, your friendships. I think the last 6 years, you've seen friendships ebb and flow. I've seen relationships ebb and flow. And it's just an interesting time. A lot of my friends are starting to get engaged and married. Is very interesting. People are entering different chapters of life and different milestone phases. So you have to realize that, sure, these 6 years might be the growth phase for most people, but growth looks like different things for different people. And different people prioritize different things. And it doesn't matter at what point you reach whatever milestones, if those are milestones for you, you just have to do your own thing and your own path.
In terms of like transitions, like, so one is the 20 aspect, right? Like we spoke about like how 20 can be like an inflection point. I think 25 also can be like an inflection point. At this point, like every multiple of five, I don't know, man, can be it's like an inflection point. But so I think one aspect of like turning 20 is just like navigating. So you're navigating a different world in the sense that I think it's, for most people in general, I think it's the navigating the workspace or navigating work life in general. That can be like a difficult transition or a new transition for them to kind of explore. And it takes a few years to kind of get used to that. And, you know, what really the dynamics that might work in like college life start probably breaking apart, or the assumptions that hold true in college life may not hold true in workspace. But after 5 years, you obviously have a lot of experience and new transitions kind of start. Like now you're much a little more mature in the work that you've done. And, you know, now there are new paths to kind of tread. Do you find that the 25 transition is a bit worrisome or a bit more challenging than a 20 transition, or is it the same, or there's not much to it? Am I making too much of this transition shit? How are you thinking about it?
No, I just think every space you transition differently, right? At 25, I fully had a quarter life crisis. I was in a long-term relationship that ended. I had a lot of, you know, friendships go through ups and downs. From a career point of view, right, had a new inflection point in terms of, hey, I've built whatever I've built over the last couple of years, but now shit's getting serious, right? Because when you hear somebody cross 25, people start having questions of you as well. I've found so many of my friends who've crossed that 25 chasm, they feel like they're no longer, before 25, you still feel like a child plus plus. You're adulting, but it's adulting with grace. But once you're beyond 25, certain people have expectations of you, right? Whether that's, you know, fortunately, I don't feel that with my own family, but I have so many friends who are getting pressure to settle down, whatever that means, or potentially find a life partner, make sure that their jobs are a particular nature. And I think for a lot of people, 25 is that inflection point where their early career they've explored, and now they're trying to figure out, do they want to make a huge change and pivot, or how do they want to go about it, right? That's when a lot of people end up going to grad school, doing all of those types of things. For me, I think, you know, the content space was new. I've been in the content world for almost 3 years now, right? And I've been in the music space for longer. I've been performing artist for even longer than that. But each inflection point, you learn about yourself. And I think 25 is very different than 20. Because at 20, you're just navigating, okay, I'm an adult. But at 25, you're like, wow, I'm really an adult. And I feel like at 30, then people don't have any excuses beyond that, you know? Even though our lives are different than previous generations, my mom was married at 25. That's not a immediate goal in sight for me whatsoever, right? And for different reasons. But the point being, the expectations of previous generations don't necessarily fall into our generation. And therefore, that navigation, I think, intergenerationally is harder at 25 than it is at 20.
So we started at 20, then we moved on to 25.
Yeah.
I think I'd seen one of your videos where I think you spoke about there are some people who are process oriented and then there are some people who are outcome oriented.
Yeah.
And I think you fell into the outcome oriented category. So before you turn 30, which is I think 4 years, 5 years from now, are there some outcomes that you'd like to achieve? Some things that which are like non-negotiables for you?
Yes and no. So let's talk about career and business first, right? For me, the way that we operate, my career is very business oriented. And so I'm at a place right now where we are growing sustainably, everybody's getting paid equitably, we're growing in a way that feels good. But for me, the next couple of years, it's important to scale. And it's important for me to build infrastructure such that I can abstract myself away from certain things at a certain point. Because I recognize when you're in a public-facing career, particularly the arts and content, which are two very different things, but they also overlap, they have a shelf life, right? In the sense that you have a good 10 years at best where you're at your peak. And then after that, it's a lot of how do you build beyond that? How do you pivot if necessary? Things of that nature. So I think it's just setting up that kind of infrastructure. Less so from because I'm scared of my shelf life, because I'm very confident in my skills that I can pivot into pretty much anything and that I'm not concerned about, but more so just building out infrastructure. Because if at some point I do care, I don't think 30 would be that inflection point for me, but perhaps 35 might be. If at some point I do care about, say, raising or nurturing a family, right? And I say that specifically as nurturing because my personal preference would be adoption. I would want to be somebody as a parent who is present. And I would want to be somebody who has the ability to do that. So to set up things, just essentially, you know, I guess for the, like from a, if we're talking in specific terms, financially for the last few years, I've been in the spend to grow, basic savings, basic income, right? For the next 5 years from a milestone, I think it's important for me to build investments. It's important for me to build savings. It's important for me to more future plan. From a personal milestone point of view, I'm not somebody who cares specifically about marriage or those types of things. I think I do deeply care about companionship. So if I have a companion that I care deeply enough about, that would be really cool to enter that phase of life with. But I don't think I will be 30 plus and say, hey, I'm not married. Let me find somebody to get married to. But
so,
yeah, go for it.
No, please finish the point because mine was from your shelf life. I actually had some, but please go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So actually, I was not very convinced with the shelf life argument there. And maybe you can finish your personal point later on in the sense that. I mean, I kind of buy that, you know, in creative fields, obviously, like many other fields, even I think athletics also is a close parallel where you get to where you have a very high peak. And generally, that's at the very early stages of your career. So people generally do well when they're 19, let's say 19 to, let's say, 29. And then the glory starts to kind of fade off. Like I said, generally, broadly speaking. But I'm not very convinced because partly when I look at examples, let's say, so Kardashian is like, so Kardashians is like one example where I think they're in their mid-40s and they're still doing, like, not everybody, but obviously I think a few people are who are in their mid-40s and they're still doing exceptionally well. I can think of like music artists also. I think Drake is also, I don't know, I think in his mid-30s and doing exceptionally well as well. I don't know if these are the exceptions that prove the rule.
Exceptions, because for every Drake, for every Kardashian, there's hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not more multiples of people who don't have that ability, right? And so it's really easy for us to look at the most successful people in these fields and say, of course it's possible. Of course, I'm not denying that it's possible. There's enough people. But I also have to, you have to have some dose of reality where that may not be a possibility. So how do you best set up protections for yourself? How do you best build infrastructure? And as for me, as somebody who's particularly interested in multiple things, right? Even if you are, you'll transition. Let's take an example of someone who's super successful, right? Just to give you an example. Rihanna, right? Rihanna, I don't know how old she is. She's probably in her mid-30s, if not early 30s. She hasn't released a song in 7 years, okay? She's transitioned into her beauty brand being the primary thing. She's always been a fashion icon, et cetera, et cetera. You think of any of these people, even a Selena Gomez. Selena Gomez is, what, 5 years older than I am, right? She's probably 30 right now. She started off as a child actress. Then she got into singing in a band. Then she was a solo artist. Then she's an actress. But now she's also a producer, runs a startup. The thing is, in these spaces, you have to set up multiple streams of income. You have to set up multiple things because there's a window in which you can maximize that. And that's the whole point, is all I'm saying, right? And now the social media world is very different because everybody we're talking about are people who have kind of seen success through a more traditional lens. Social media versus those spaces, here's the way they're different. We know about, say, some star kids, right? Today, who may or may not have done a film, but they have a lot of attention and spotlight on them, right? Some of them are doing films, they're doing super well, and they are in that bracket of celebrity from the day they were born, essentially. However, if you're growing through social media, it's very different because it's the life that you portray, whether or not you do more, you know, vulnerable or vlog style content or whatever, even if you're making informational videos. The point is you are growing in the eyes of the public, which means you're also failing in the eyes of the public, which means people feel like they know you as a human being, more parasocially. There are some creators who are huge, probably bigger than some of the current, you know, star kids. I'm just giving that example because that's such a huge prevalent example in India. But if they're outside, let's say both are outside a restaurant, right? The creator might be bigger, but people feel like they know them better. So they'll feel a different sense of association, which means both good and bad. You'll find people who be like, oh my God, it's my friend, when they only know them through the internet. But it'll also be like, oh, they're more willing to criticize because they feel like they know them better. Whereas there's still this like star aura celebrity around certain people that makes it feel a little bit more impenetrable. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so. I get what you're saying. But I don't know. I'm not very convinced. But theek hai,
let's not convince.
I'm not sure actually. Like, the biggest example I can think of is like, I think Shah Rukh's kid. I think, I don't know when. Aryan Khan and I mean Suana Khan. Their work is not very public, I think, but they're still extremely popular.
Exactly. They haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in Aryan's case, I mean, I think he has not even starred in any movie, but there seems to be a lot of following. I think that's fame by association. I think people are just, you know how we have this affection towards like in the UK where they have this royalty and, you know, royalties, children. Maybe that's that. I don't know.
It is fame by association. There are some people who've also, you know, grown through more traditional industry. But there's also people who've grown through... Here's the difference. When it's more traditional celebrity, you feel this... You pedestalize them. Okay? But when it's more non-traditional fame, where like social media, etc., you develop more of a parasocial relationship. What I mean by that is you know what they do. Whereas in traditional celebrity, you'll see the outfits they wear. You'll see their airport shots, paparazzi, like blah, 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 right? It'll be honestly a hugely controlled narrative with their PR. But when somebody is growing through social media, you'll often know so many details about them because that's part of how they create that relationship with you. That's how they share, right? Whether or not they're being vulnerable, you know at least what their house looks like. You know their siblings. You know all of these things. And these are not people who are either famous by association or traditional celebrity, right? The point being, the growth is harder, but the fall is equally, like, you can disappear from the internet. And think of the biggest social media stars, you know, YouTubers in India. They can disappear from the internet for 2 years and then people won't really give a shit. Do you understand? But in more traditional celebrity or people who are famed by association, they can never disappear in that way.
Understood. Okay.
You have to maximize your shelf life when you are growing through that, because otherwise nobody cares. The space is getting so saturated.
There are always new people entering the YouTube ecosystem, so the competition in that sense will be very, very high, and it's very easy to become irrelevant.
Exactly, and that's why you see, you know, certain people who grow through that space trying to enter more traditional industry, meaning they're trying to enter the acting space or they're trying to enter other spaces to give themselves leverage beyond just social media. Do you understand? Whereas for people who are in the traditional space, right, someone who's famous by association, the second they open a social media account, they automatically have 1 million followers. So for them, social media becomes their tool for people to peer into their lives. Whereas when you're growing on social media, that becomes the way in which you grow. Do you get what I'm saying?
I think so. On your point of like, you know, you mentioned when you're growing, you know, people know what your sibling looks like. People know what your house looks like. Is that a difficult thing in the sense like when you're kind of growing in public or sharing a lot of your updates in public? It's, I think if I can contrast this to, I think in Twitter, there is this thing called building in public. By that, what it means is like, so people start companies and they build that company in public. They post like Twitter updates of like what they're doing, what new product or feature they might release, what revenues they might generate. And if they fail, they fail in public. And it's like not only a learning for them, but also it's a learning for everyone else who's been following that account or, you know, who has been involved with that individual. Is that like a good parallel for what people do as well, where, you know, you're
think about well. It, right? If you have any friends who are, or if you know of anybody who's in the content space or in, you know, even a musician, artist, whomever it might be, who's starting out. When people post, some of their friends might be like, oh my God, they're so cringy. Right? When you start out and you have 300 people, the second that same person has 3,000 or 30,000, then it's like, oh, okay. But you're growing and failing in public. And today people understand this world more than anybody else does. They'll be like, oh, this post got less likes. This got less this. This is not getting, I mean, and people think that they're the most genius people, right? So they'll try to analyze every action. You're growing in public and you're failing in public. And depending on how much you share, there's enough examples of people who don't necessarily share about their personal life, right? You may know that they dance well, or they sing well, or that they can convey information, or they make comedy skits. You may understand a little bit about the constructed personality they've created, but you may not know them, right? When you're a kind of person who's comfortable sharing who you are, which I am in different ways, whether that's the way my thought process works, or through my music, I'm very vulnerable, or even through certain things like I've been willing to share, it comes with its pros and cons. The pros are people feel extremely connected to you. You feel like you've built a family or a community as opposed to just eyeballs and followers. But at the same time, the criticism is much more. At the same time, you have to recognize that you are a person who's putting yourself out there, but what people are consuming is a persona. And there's a difference. Because sometimes when you put yourself in those spaces, right, it can be scary for sure. And people will create opinions and they won't go and deep dive into your life. They might have just seen something in a meme and they're making an impression based off of that. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's a total choice. And I've been very cognizant of the choices because I also talk about certain topics that typically in our cultural fabric, we might consider taboo, right? When you talk openly about sex ed or mental health or bodily autonomy or your own emotions, comes with its pros and cons. But I talk about these things because I think they're incredibly important to talk about. I also recognize that I've come from a space where I've grown up being able to openly talk about these things, and that's not the case for a lot of people. And for them, seeing that ability sometimes helps. Seeing those conversations helps. It helps them have those own conversations in their lives. It helps them think through certain things.
So talking about discussing sensitive things in public, so there are two aspects to this, in the sense that, see, generally people are known for their work. But sometimes what can happen is like some incident happens, and then, so like a chutia example of this might be like, you're in a classroom and you do something.
Yeah.
And then the naughty guy gives you a nickname of, you know, and that nickname stays. And then your rest of your school life, you're just like that nickname.
Yeah.
No matter which competition you win from that thereon, that nickname is just, you know, you're stuck with that. Extending that argument, like sometimes like a few incidents kind of overshadow your entire.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where I'm getting with this is like, I think a year back, year or two back, you released a breakup video.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that could be the case where a lot of people might even see, like one example of this is like, it's been, I think, 2 years since that event, and I'm still bringing it up, right? As a case in point.
It's been a year, so I get that it's more recent, but yes, correct.
Yeah. Do you think that's the case though, where like that event might be a little more amplified than what you might have probably aimed for or hoped
that
for?
That event got so out of hand. For me, I was just sharing my emotions. And because I'd been public about the relationship, felt a need to share basics on the end of it. But it got out of hand because for those 2 weeks, suddenly it became content everywhere. Every roast comedian picked it up. Every reaction channel picked it up. Every meme page picked it up. It was trending on Twitter. And it became this thing that was way out of my hands. And therefore, like you rightly said, overshadowed certain things, right? I've been in the music industry for years. And if somebody, all they know is a meme of me, and then they somehow come across my Spotify page, they're like, hey, how did she become a singer? They've not known that I've been doing this since I was born, right? Because they're not bothered. They're not invested in you in that way. A lot of some of the other work you do, like you said, I think the classroom analogy is a really good analogy. But there's two approaches you can have. One is you let that bother you and you shy away and you retreat. Or the other is you say, you know what? This keeps happening. Life is ephemeral. If it wasn't this, it would have been something else. And that's it. And you keep moving on and you keep putting your head down, doing the work you have to do. And that's about it. And it doesn't bother me if someone knows me from my songs, if someone knows me from my grandmother, if somebody knows me from talking about uncomfortable topics, if somebody knows me as the breakup girl, somebody knows me as what at Harvard. There's 10 labels you can give me based on what people consume on the internet. And it doesn't bother me where you know somebody from. If you want to be a part of the community and stay, you'll know what we're about, right? And you just keep doing the work, you do what you got to do, and you move on.
So if I can take a step back, and maybe if we can move away from your particular example, maybe. But in general, like, from your experience, mm-hmm. I'm just curious about, at this point, how are you thinking about, like, the philosophy of, like, breaking up online? Or if you can even take another step back, is, like, sharing relationships online, in the sense that, I think in the US, at least, I think 50% of the marriages end up in divorce. Breakups in India are also pretty common. I mean, I think last statistic I heard was average relationships last about 6 months. So that's 6 months is a very short time. In that sense, like, have you revised your view, or is there any new information that you feel going forward in terms of like relationship sharing, or what aspects of personal life probably should be left behind, outside the camera? I don't know.
I think it really depends person to person. There's enough examples of people who are, say, daily vloggers, right? who's, you see their life really through the screen all the time. And to me, it's really up to the person's comfort and whoever's filmed. For example, in my family, my dad is really comfortable being on camera and we'll do duets together because he plays the tabla. My grandmother does not give a shit about being on camera. She loves it. In fact, it's a nice memory for her. My mom is not super comfortable being on camera, so most people haven't seen her. It depends on the people's level of comfort, number one. Number two, it's really up to the person. Who are we to judge what somebody shares? If you don't like it, move on. There's enough options, right? Where I think there are morality gray lines is about children. That to me is always something that I've had questions about, because children can't really consent, right, to being online. And so when you have people sharing their children in multiple capacities, that to me is just question, like I question it as to what extent that's okay. But people sharing their relationships, I'll give my personal view and then also like a broader view. I was in a relationship for 6 years, okay? And I shared it online 4.5 years into the relationship, because at that point we felt comfortable enough doing that. And I shared it because I felt like I was hiding a huge part of who I was. And a huge part of, I was releasing songs about distance and these types of things. And, you know, whenever we'd have interviews, they'd be like, what's this motivated by? I'm like, I'm just motivated by missing people. No, bro, people connect to something more deeply when they know there is a story there. And I felt more comfortable sharing, right? I also was in a healthy relationship until it ended. But for the most part, it was a healthy relationship. And sometimes seeing examples of that is useful. Like I know for me, seeing that, in my previous relationship, for example, was an intercultural relationship. And I found comfort and solace in watching other people who were in cultural intercultural relationships, because I knew I wasn't alone. Does that make sense? So for me, knowing that those were always sources, I was like, if I'm comfortable sharing, if my partner, that was my main thing. If they're comfortable, then great. If they're not comfortable, not exposing them to that. My ex was very comfortable. In fact, really enjoyed it. So therefore, of course, it comes with consequences when you put a relationship out there. When something ends, I had options, right? I could have just been like, this end. I could have said nothing. I could have just been like, this ended, bus. But I also knew, had I just said, hey, this ended, I have enough friends in this space who've been in public relationships, their relationships have ended, they haven't addressed it properly. The amount that their ex-partner is attacked is crazy, because people assume all sorts of things. So honestly, out of protection and love and care for my ex-partner, it's like, I need to share a reason. And I shared a very simple reason, which was logistical. There were obviously many others, but that was the basic reason I shared. And of course, the whole situation got out of hand, but that's okay. It's not okay in the way it got out of hand and in the way people reacted. There was insanity, and it shows you how people objectify women, how people think of them. I mean, if I can go into the craziness, but it got really dark and it got really brutal. And that's hard for anybody putting any aspect of personal life, right? Somebody sharing about their own mental health struggles. There's people who have shared, because again, for them, it's a sense of catharsis. And for somebody else, they know that they're not alone. But it comes with its consequences, in the sense that some people may not be as sensitive. Some people don't understand that space, so they'll start accusing you of all sorts of things. So it really depends on your level of comfort. For me, ever since then, I have been less open about certain aspects of my personal life, but I'm generally still open about my feelings, about emotions, about vulnerability. You'll hear stories in songs. I'm open to talking about things. It's just, it'll depend on people in my life and their levels of comfort if I decide to share aspects of personal life, right? Think about it. As a country, we're obsessed with weddings. And we know that people, when they share about their weddings, people are obsessed, because whether they take it as inspo or whatever it might be, right? You'll see full channels resurrect when someone gets engaged or married. And I don't think everybody's doing it from a contentifying perspective. I think they're just sharing their experiences, because it's a beautiful thing to commit to someone in that way. But because we are so obsessed with these things, it comes with all of that, right? It's a cool thing to be able to share. In the same way, yeah, sorry.
On the wedding example, I think also it's a happy event, right? In the sense, I think there's also this, at least the way I'm thinking about this is like, I think happy events are more acceptable for people. And when it's like a breakup, maybe people are uncomfortable.
Agreed. But see, social media, already the problem with it, there's so many benefits, but the problem is it's this curated space. It's like, I've done this, this success, this blah, 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 blah. And then it creates insecurity issues for a lot of consumers, whether that ranges from body image to thinking people's lives are perfect to thinking everything. If you're comfortable sharing the good, you should also be comfortable sharing the not so great, right? Because that's what makes you human. Otherwise, you're just a curated piece. So that's where my philosophy comes in the capacity of, yes, of course I share good things, but I'm also comfortable sharing not so great things because that's human. And on a daily basis, you're not like, yay, all the time. On a daily basis, we go through things. And more than that, for me, it's less about, oh, these are my struggles. It's more like, I know someone else is dealing with something. How do you give them resources? How do you connect them to spaces? Like, we've worked with 50 different mental health organizations, and we connect people all the time to subsidized or free resources, particularly younger folks who can't access it. For me, I accessed education in a way that a lot of people don't have the privilege to. So why should I gatekeep that information? It's really important for me to increase access. Like, for me, equity, access is what drives everything that I do. So when I talk about difficult topics, it's important because I know that people don't have access to that information usually. But more than that, they don't have access to resources. So how do they go about that? Including my own emotions, right? If you see my DMs, they're filled with all sorts of things, but a huge, strong theme. It's a lot of young adults, teenagers, young adults, adolescents, whatever, just dealing with the craziness of life and feeling like it's a safe space to talk about, oh my God, this situation happened with my friend. This situation happened with my partner, with my parents, with my this. How do I deal with my mom who's grieving over the loss of whatever and wants to commit suicide? They don't know where to go. It's scary that they feel more comfortable going to the internet than people in their own lives. But if you recognize, okay, that's what's happening because you created some sort of safe space. For me, how do I create resource gaps? How can I connect people with resources? That's always been the goal and aim. And for different people, they have different motivations of sharing personal life. Like, you find joy. There's some, I don't know if you are this way as a consumer, but there's some couples who I love watching on the internet. Or there's just some people, I don't even know what they do, but it gives me so much joy to watch them. You know? For some people, I think when they talk about hard things, I really learn from that. And we feel connected because we want to do the same things in our lives. We have some friends who we just have musti bakchodi with, right? We have some friends who we go to for advice. We have some friends who we just chill and do activities with. You're recreating those social dynamics you have in your real life in an online world, just parasocially.
I think we're running out of time. Thank you for your time.